Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and with me is my co-host of our Life by Life West, my wonderful bride, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Mary, welcome.
Hi.
We're going to be co-hosting, and we've got two very, very special guests with us today. One who I have known since she was probably in the seventh grade. I don't know.
Grade, I was going to say.
Yeah, you know, spent a lot of time. I kind of consider you, Eva, my fourth daughter. Like, I literally tell people that. I didn't have to pay for your schooling. I love your father, John. And so, but we got Dr. Eva Zingang, and we've got her wonderful husband, who I like to think played a tiny part of you guys meeting, at least just a really small bit. But it's in my head. I can have whatever I want, hallucinations I want to have. Dr. Joe. So guys, welcome. Welcome to the Life by Life West. This is our second time coming on. I think the last time was when?
2020.
Wow. Feels like ages ago and a pandemic ago, right? That kind of thing. But welcome, guys. It's so good to have you.
Thanks for having us.
We're so happy to be here.
Absolutely. And since we met that time, there's been a lot of changes in your life. And by the way, let me just tell our viewers, you got a awesome practice down in Otay Mesa, California, just in San Diego, just south, going close to the border, just close to Chula Vista. If anyone knows that area, they have a family and peds practice. Got out of school. Both of you, I think, worked at our office for like a year each or close to a year each. And then boom, you know, then they finally went and opened their own practice and just have exploded ever since. And I know that Mary and I are very inspired by what you guys have created down in San Diego. And we'll talk about it today. So kind of get some ideas of what you're doing. But since that time, you've had changes in your family also.
Mm-hmm. We have. We had a son.
We've Rocco. Got a
2-year-old now, guys. Rock and Rocco.
I love it. I just can just hear in the background. Oh, man, I just love it. So you got Rocco. And Mira, I want to just start. I just want to ask you guys, because, like, you know, I think for our viewers especially, how do you balance it? Like, you know, that's like, I know how Mary and I balanced it, but you guys, it's a new day. You know, how do you balance, you know, having a newborn up to a 2-year-old, still growing your practice, still, you know, expanding everything you're doing?
You know, I've grappled with this sort of concept of balance. I think the way I thought the balance was going to look and feel before I was in it was a lot different than the way that it is. And I think that sort of redefining balance and recognizing that, like, it is always in flux. And that's such a cool thing about what we do as chiropractors. I think it's my favorite thing yet. And I love a lot of things about chiropractic, but, like, owning your own practice and going through pregnancy and then giving birth and then postpartum, like, I literally can't imagine doing it in any other career. And I'm so freaking fortunate. And I feel that every single day. And with all the moms in our practice we work with, I'm like, I can't believe I have it so good because of the way that we're able to set ourselves up for the lives that we want. We're able to create a practice that's, like, congruent. And for us, with other pregnant moms and babies and kids, it's just been so fluid. So first and foremost, I feel like the fact that our practice is what it is has been a huge part in me being able to find that balance, because I could just show up authentically as a new mom in the practice and have my baby with me. I was never one who felt like I could, like, baby wear and adjust. I mean, respect to the moms that go out there and do that. But just having him here, and then the balance between the tipping point where now it's a little bit more difficult to have him here because he wants to be with us more and more. I just feel like with all the changes, just being able to be my authentic self and be that in our practice, and people respect that and people appreciate that. That's been really, really huge.
Yeah. I'd add one thing to it. I think team is everything.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it started as a team of two. And then as we grew, you know, a staff and, you know, and so on and so forth, but we could not do the life that we're doing right now without team. So we're incredibly grateful. It's something that we had to intentionally prepare for. Like, who do we need to have in place so that she and I can do this parenthood thing the way that we want to do it? And you don't know what you don't know when you're a first time parent. You're like, I think it's going to be this, but so team. And that's huge. It gives us such freedom. It gives them such empowerment to know that we trust them to handle a lot of things so that we can show up and be as effective as possible and then get out of there and go back to Mr. Rocco. And to add on to Dr. Eva's point, it's so cool to have him here now because there's literally times that I'm holding him with one arm and I'm adjusting another kid, or then they're all playing as like a little group of rugrats. So it's like Dr. Eva said, it's so cool that we get to have this opportunity to, you know, raise our family in the way that feels right for us, that I don't have to miss him all day because he can be hanging out with us. And all of our people who are ideal for our practice and that we actually want to have stick around love it. So it's perfect.
Well, and I think I love what you said, Eva, when you first started talking. It's like everyone's got their own story. And why I think your story is important, because there's no one story that it's not cookie cutter. I also, when I was pregnant with Lauren, I said, when people said, how much time are you going to take off? I was like, 6 weeks, and I'm going to put her on my back and I'm going to adjust. I didn't realize that with a baby on your back and you lean over, the baby falls forward and hits you in the head, their teeth, they bite you. Like, so like that was my story until I had her. So I think that's so cool. Like, I want you to kind of dive in just a little bit more, like logistically, almost like from the pregnancy to having him in there. Like, cause I know you were probably like, what are we going to do? So like, did you, like, when you weren't feeling good during pregnancy, did you just take over and say, just stay home? Like, how did that look? Or was it just like on the spot decisions?
Oh my gosh. Well, first and foremost, I had a vision. I was planting the seed. I want to hire an associate. I want it to happen before I get pregnant. I was just sprinkling that into the ether. And sure enough, Joe was kind of, always very hesitant about the associate. Like, do we need an associate? We're doing it just us.
I'll adjust everyone.
It's fine. Luck would have it. It had to have been like November, the month I found out that I was pregnant, maybe even October. Someone reaches out. They have a friend that shadowed our office. They were working in an office, but looking for a potential associate position. They just wanted to come shadow, heard about us through the grapevine. We didn't put anything out there specifically, other than obviously energetically, we did very much put it out there. This guy comes in, he's a LifeWest grad. He's awesome. And we're like, is this our associate that just came to shadow? So timing just worked out perfectly. We're like, literally as I was discovering I was pregnant, we brought a new associate in. And then, yeah, I remember my first trimester, like in January, it had only been him and I, and it's always been hard for me to like let go of various aspects of the practice. Even at the end of the day, it's hard for me to stop thinking about it. It's hard for me to not just be constantly obsessing over all the little details because I care about it so much. And I had a week where I just felt like garbage, absolute garbage. And Joe was like, you got to stay home. Dr. John and I can handle it. And I'm like, can you though? No, you can't. I'm telling myself, like, no. I'll push through. He's like, you don't have to push through. Like, we have the help.
Yeah.
And it was like a big leap of faith. Like, I remember for those of you that were at Life 101, when we did that, like there was an exercise where you climb up the pole and then you like jump off of a little platform. And it was the same feeling I had of like, before I jumped off the platform, I was like, oh my God, you know, just that leap of faith. But I took the leap of faith and it completely changed the whole trajectory of my pregnancy because I gave myself permission to just trust that the practice was going to be okay. It was going to be different. It wasn't going to be exactly the way it was going to be with me there every day, but that I needed to allow that in order to do my pregnancy the way that I wanted to do it. I didn't want to be adjusting heavily all day, most days until the day I gave birth, which again, I thought that is what I would do. And I thought that that's what I would do, you know, starting 2 weeks postpartum until I was in it. So,
and it's interesting because, you know, I think the lesson that we all learn is that parenting starts during pregnancy. It doesn't start once you deliver. And, you know, all these choices that are being made and like you said, letting go, which is a huge thing, right? Because obviously you both know as parents now, it the whole thing is just letting go, right? You know, yes, I can have it, think it one way, but it doesn't mean it's going to go that way. And we kind of meet our master, right? And yet it's a cool thing because it teaches adults how to let go and how to revision and re-see things and, you know, let our egos kind of, you know, drop out of the picture for a little bit. But it's incredible, you know. And Joe, how are you? Like, you know, when I'll tell you what I went through, you know, like when Mary stepped out of the practice, when we had our first, even with the other associates, you know how our office was running, you know, I still felt alone. I felt like I was missing something, you know. I had this, you know, and a lot of it was energetic. It wasn't about necessarily the practice, like, you know, having someone in the practice with me, but I just felt like my left side of my body was gone. You know, did you experience that, Joe?
Yeah, it was, you know, because we, before that point, was what, 4 years together?
Yeah.
So about 4 years into it, you know, every day, all day, every day, this is our baby, we're nurturing it. Even we're not in the practice, like Dr. Eva said, we're obsessing about the practice. So yeah, there was a little bit of that feeling of like, man, she's my favorite chiropractor on the planet. And I know that what she brings to the practice is unmatchable. There's nobody else like her. And that's, you know, there's nobody else like any of us, but aww, so sweet. But you know, at the same time, it was like, I recognized that the needs of the practice could be met by others versus the needs of her caring for her body and for this baby that we're growing could only be met by her. So again, it brought me back to the team where I was like, all right, you know, she's my number one choice. If I get to pick a teammate and it's only going to be me and somebody else, I'm going her 1,000%. But if she's not available, because we're going to value her resting and nurturing and I mean, literally just giving her body time to do that amazing, miraculous work, we were going to need some team support. So it was weird and it was definitely, you know, not ideal in the beginning. But then I came to appreciate it because then it felt like an act of service to be like, wow, Dr. Eva doesn't have to be in the practice and the practice is still rocking and rolling. And now the team is growing and the team is feeling empowered and everybody's winning. And it's because we're all helping out.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
And you had the priority straight. The priority was Eva's health. The priority wasn't the practice. Yeah.
Which was a hard shift to make, you know, and we worked around it. Like I did work throughout most of my pregnancy, but I started slowly but surely like, okay, by the time I was like really showing, I couldn't do an anterior dorsal anywhere comfortably. I'm like, okay, I'm going to see mostly kids or mostly sort of activator people. I'm going to do most of the day one, day twos. And then third trimester, I was pretty much doing mostly like consults and reported findings. So we were able to sort of like mix and match that following the needs of my day to day, of my week to week. And yeah, being able to prioritize that and like feel clear about that and not have guilt around that and feel empowered in that choice and really feel like we're honoring what's best for everyone, the win-win, because what's best for us and our family is what's best for the practice, since the practice is a reflection of us. It starts with.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the love does too. You know, I mean, I'm sure Joe, you know, once Rocco was born and you're in the practice and Eva, if you weren't in the practice at that time, right after the birth, I mean, the practice became secondary, still important, but it became secondary because Rocco and Eva was like, you know, like when can I get home to see my, you know, try to be as present as you can when you're in there. And yet with that love that's coming, the practice tends to grow from that because it's just the love that's there, right? It's so beautiful. And like, it's like you said, Eva, it all starts here, right? It all starts on the inside and that's how healing starts. So, you know, doesn't just, the principles of chiropractic don't just apply to healing. They apply to life, right? Everything that we do. Talk about your practice. Talk about, you know, you guys got a huge pediatric practice, family practice. I know you're doing a lot with lactation, things like that. Share with us, like, what's been kind of, what's the groove in the practice? What's the jam right now?
Well, sort of stemming from this conversation of us growing as a family, in the experiences that we had postpartum with breastfeeding especially, we started to notice, sure enough, reflecting in the practice was a lot of new moms with breastfeeding challenges right after I came out of a period of being a new mom with breastfeeding challenges. So I feel like in terms of like newborns in the practice and pregnant moms really like consistently getting it throughout their pregnancy that they were going to understand and bring their baby in and have the baby checked right after birth and value the baby getting under care, I feel like that really was a huge influx and like a portal that opened when I went, you know, when we went through it ourselves. We started a monthly breastfeeding support group because I couldn't find one in our area. And I was like, well, I guess I have to start one then. So that also continued to nurture that energy of you know, newborns and new moms struggling and needing just a space to have support, whether or not it was for the logistics of breastfeeding, just being able to show up and support one another and sort of cultivate that sense of community. So I feel like those pieces were really integral in the shift. You know, we've always been passionate about pediatrics, but if you were to compare our practice, obviously when we spoke last 2020 and where it is now, it's a completely different practice filled with different kids, filled with like deeper level of challenges. And I feel like that's something we also called in as we felt, more comfortable as chiropractors. We're like, we want to call in more and more. We love taking care of wellness and families that are all, you know, understand that chiropractic is amazing. And also those kids that are in a tough, tough, tough spot that are struggling. There are no other resources for them. There's nothing like chiropractic for those kids to unlock their healing. And these are the parents that are doing 9,000 other things and they've tried everything in the book. They haven't tried chiropractic, you know? So that I feel like has been a major shift in terms of like the, I guess the level of service we're able to provide for some of the families and some of these kids. And
what kind of kids? What are you seeing? What kind of I don't want to call them conditions because that's it's an allopathic term, but what are they presenting with?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on which category we're talking about. But if it's like those infants, it's feeding challenges, pooping challenges, and sleeping challenges. Usually the big three, poop, right, sleep, and eat for the babies. And again, like Dr. Eva said, they're utilizing the resources that they have, and they're not getting great results with it. Or they're getting just to a certain point, they're plateauing.
And side note to add to that, like birth trauma, you know, I really feel like the unspoken thing in terms of obviously since we spoke in 2020 and we spoke now, the children that have been born in that time period, you know, not only do we see the babies initially having really traumatic births because the dad tested positive for COVID and then wasn't able to be in the room, or the mom was just so stressed throughout her entire pregnancy and didn't really get a resolution of that stress. So that was sort of the beginning of it brewing, but it's an interesting over like the then consecutive 3 years, how now we've got 3 and 4 year olds coming into the practice that are dealing with anxiety, you know, maybe ADHD hasn't been diagnosed yet, but the parents are sensing that they've had delayed milestones. They never crawled, they never rolled. You know, they started walking, you know, and at 8 months and just skipped over everything else. And then those children, right, when they start to be school age, they're struggling with all of these things that at the root, it's like, we're just accumulating stress from this unresolved sort of start to life and this unaddressed, unresolved stress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like Dr. Eva said, definitely that. And then there's this whole other category of kids with these neurodivergent and neurological challenges, let's call it autism, and these different delays and stuff where, man, it seems like 10 years ago, you'd be hard to find a kid that had these diagnoses. Now it seems like every kid that comes into the practice has either ADHD or autism, like some degree of that diagnosis. And these parents, a lot of them are really well educated. They know about the nervous system. They do their own research and they're learning about the nervous system. But again, what tools do they have to actually unlock the potential of the nervous system? Well, they could do breathing exercises. They could do, you know, some different things with some really great practitioners that serve a lot of people well. But again, we're just seeing these parents come in really frustrated because they're like, I know my child can get better, but we don't know how. We've tried everything. We're kind of here as a last resort. Tell me how and why you think you could help my child. And we're like, we're so glad you're here. Let's get to work, you know?
Yeah. And I'm sure part of it too is has to be that you know, you're seeing these types of children that now they're referring, their families are referring, you know, everyone knows everybody, right? If someone has an autistic child, they're probably in an autistic child group, and then next thing you know, they're all funneling over to Clear Chiropractic, right? That's just kind of how it works, right?
Well, and I would say the other thing too is like when you were just talking, it's like it's a vicious cycle because the more these parents are seeing their kids saying something's not right, so now they're under stress and they're not getting answers, or they're getting a little bit of help and then it stops, right? And then there's nothing out there giving these parents hope. So even when they first come in and you haven't helped them yet, but their first interaction with you two going, you came to the right place, we got you. Just that cascading, if they never even came back to you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that little bit of hope of saying to a parent, we can help you. And you're not saying we're going to cure your kid. You're saying we can help you navigate this. Talk about like that alone is so huge for parents.
Yeah.
It's so huge. Reminding them that there is an innate intelligence, going back to the principles, like we said, of chiropractic, but are really just principles of life. honoring that. And that's something that the parents know deep down. And it's just so nice to have that seen and to have that validated and to hold the space and potential for their child.
Yeah.
You know, we're not limiting it. And the things that these parents have said that their practitioners have told them that are just completely like, I mean, heartbreaking. We've cried over Mom and I were like, it's hard to process. And there have been times where it's really, really heavy. The obstacles that these parents have faced and the defeat and the hopelessness and the despair that they have felt. So for them to walk into our office and we just talked about chiropractic, you know, and I think that was something even early on when we were like maybe a little bit intimidated by, well, I don't know about every single different condition. And I don't know about all the different treatment modalities for these different things. Like, no, just get that all out of your head. What do I know? I know about chiropractic and I know how to connect with the parent. I know how to talk about the wisdom of the body. And that's all we're doing, you know, and just no matter what the specific circumstance, it's about chiropractic and you make it about that. And parents get it. Like they really do. People get it. And it's been really cool even to see, I feel like over these last few years, like other practitioners getting it. And we have pregnant moms that come in and they say, my OB said I should see a chiropractor. And we've got, you know, the physical therapist or the occupational therapist recommended that this child sees a chiropractor. The lactation consultant at the hospital said you should go see a chiropractor. People are getting it, you know?
They are. And, you know, Mary, you kind of touched on that cycle. And Eva, you know, Joe, you guys did too. But you talk about the parent coming in who really feels like there's no hope, you know, because they haven't been shared about what life is really about, where health really comes from, right? And that what the potential is within, right? They're just looking at a diagnosis and they're looking at alternatives that they can do, right?
Right.
And I'm not always, but it's a common theme. And that parent, the stress that parent's going through, you know, and that how that parental stress of whatever it looks like is definitely affecting the child, because we know that the energy from the parent, you know, goes right to the child. And that cycle just keeps playing. And that one visit in your office where you actually share with them that there is potential, that, you know, that you're not the only person in this, you know, in this situation, and that there is hope, whatever level that might be, just that relief that is there, you know, that Eva, you just said it before, just that unleashing of the stuff that they've been holding on to, that whole relationship now changes with that child. You know, the whole healing process changes with that child. You know, there's nothing bigger. And that's why, you know, I always go back to this, Mary, you know, that when, you know, Fred Barge used to always say, and I say this to the first quarter class when I teach them, I never take away hope from a patient. Never. Don't give them false hope, but never take away hope, because that's where healing starts. You know, it's so cool, man. I'm so inspired by you guys. Just the stuff you're doing, you know, and the practice. And the question I have for you is this, because, you know, when you start getting kids, you know, we'll call them autistic or, you know, on the spectrum, whatever the words they have for them, you know, they might not be a quick adjustment. And you got a lot of people coming in. How do you manage that? Like, how do you manage, you know, a child who just doesn't want to be touched right now, or, you know, whatever might be happening, or throwing a fit or whatever it is, you know, what's your secrets that you do?
Yeah, I'll take this one because it
happens every week.
It's every week. You know, first of all, again, team, right? Having the flexibility to be aware that, like, for example, this just happened yesterday. We had a kid who's nonverbal autistic. He's about 5 or 6. He came in yesterday. He's been under care for a couple of weeks. He's thriving under care. The changes are just insane. Like, for example, just real quick, first time I went to adjust him, you know, I was really confident. I was like to the mom, I was like, don't worry, mom. We were just talking as a doctor team. We've never had a child leave here without getting adjusted. We can always find a way to get him adjusted. And I was like, I'm so confident in this report. And then I go to adjust this child and he loses it. And he was screaming in such a stress. He was hitting me, hitting the mom, very, 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 very upset. So again, all of our tools and our techniques are built for this stuff, you know? So we match all the systems and procedures and tools and techniques to serve our ideal people. And luckily we got to work with the amazing Dr. Obersteins, and you guys helped us understand that you can use the instrument in a different way than the activator protocol. So for this little dude, he's hit me and he's hitting mom. And I was just able to go real quick, boop, boop, with the activator on his upper cervicals. And that's all I could get. And the mom was like, yeah, I think we should end there. And I was like, I think we should end there too, because I don't want this kid to be in super distress. He comes back the next day, says, so how did Carter respond to his first adjustment? She's like, he slept the best night that he's ever slept in his whole life. He's been so calm, so clear. And I went to check him again that second time. And now the dad and the sister in the room too. I was like, all right, let's see how this goes today. And he just looks at me and then just looks back at his iPad and lets me check him and deliver adjustments like would any other child. Yeah. So it was so cool for that mom to see the power of chiropractic. And I tell them, the power of chiropractic is not in one adjustment. The power of chiropractic is over time with the care plan. But those parents can see really amazing results very quickly, especially when they're doing all the other things, because a lot of those parents are with nutrition and other therapies and stuff. So chiropractic is just the gasoline that gets thrown on the fire. But you know, we built our systems to be able to serve these kids in a quick and effective way. Sometimes kids don't want to even get off the little waiting bench that we have. You know, they'll sit, especially if they're severe autism, they might sit there and they're nonverbal and they're grunting. We had this one little dude, he would just smash his head against the wall the whole time he was in the office, and you just hear boom, 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 you know. And to get him adjusted, I mean, you have to go up there. He would hit me and he'd hit himself. It was a very, very intense situation. But again, the power of chiropractic is not in doing a bunch of stuff. The power of chiropractic is specificity and really, really being focused and intentional in your work. So it doesn't take forever. A great adjustment doesn't take forever. I tell that to every single person. And that's what's so cool about chiropractic. And it's so cool to see these kids unravel that stress. And then now that kid, without ever being prompted, without ever seeing anybody else get on table, he comes, he lays belly down on the table, he sits there watching his iPad, and we could do whatever we want. We could do diversify, we could do the drop table, we could do everything. And it's so cool. So to answer your question, you find a way. And what's so cool about chiropractic is it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long. And the parents get that.
Yeah. And the other thing too is, I mean, the big message is the healing takes place between the adjustments, not necessarily right at the, and sometimes it does, but it takes place between the adjustments. And the minute the family and the people know that, and the children, without verbalizing, you know, as they start changing, as you know, between the adjustments. And that's why we have them on a program, right? That's the whole thing.
Wow. Yeah. And I was gonna say, and then the parents, they're seeing that, like, I think as chiropractors to us, we get kind of used to that. Like, you're now used to, you know, adjusting kids that just lay on the table all the time. But could you imagine, like, from the parents through their eyes, they've been given this information or they don't have hope, and they see something happen that they thought, I never thought I would see that happen. Or my son, he just let you adjust him, or he, like, the depth that goes into that parent, it reframes their whole like mindset now of, I was also told my kid would never walk, or I was also told my kid would never speak. Mm-hmm. And I did not think my kid would ever do that. So, I mean, I was going to say magical, but I don't like using that word magic when it comes to chiropractic, but in a way it is, because it's like, you see a great magic trick and you say, wow, that's a good magician.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's beautiful to witness, right? You know,
yeah.
It's magical to witness, but we know that that's just normal. It's how how the body works, right? It's just, you know, I mean, Mary, what would you always say? That doesn't surprise me, right? That was her common line to people. Doesn't surprise me, you know, because nothing surprises her about the body, right? It's just.
No, but people aren't being also told, parents especially aren't being told, that our bodies are always healing. I know for me, I have to remind myself when I have symptoms and I have things going on in my own body, I have to get quiet and say, my body is always healing. Right now, doing nothing, not taking any supplements or not doing red light and all the stuff, my body's always healing. I have to remind myself that. And parents need to hear that a bunch of times. True?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you've got all those layers of the mom guilt and the this and the that. And you need to be able to remind that and apply that to yourself in those moments. And also then be able to apply that to your children when your belief in that or philosophy in that, or when that value that you hold is tested, when you're seeing your child suffering, everything gets tested. You know, how stable is that foundation? How bad do you really believe? You know, what are you willing to sit? What sort of discomfort are you willing to sit through, trusting that their body's going to work through it when it seems like so much, quote, you know, sort of more is at stake when it's the most precious thing in your world.
Right.
Well, and I have one question to ask you. I'm sure Rocco has had his first fever. Yes. How was that experience? Did it test you?
It did, honestly. And yeah. I was where I was like, I'm going to be so calm. You know, it was more, it wasn't even so much the fever as a more recent event where he was at gymnastics and he fell. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there. He was with Joe, which of course made everything worse because I'm spiraling, like picturing the incident. But he basically, well, I mean, he wasn't moving his arm. And when they got home, it was like, we were worried that it was fractured. That I feel like we were almost just sort of joking. Joe's like, what are we going to do? We're talking through scenarios. He's like, what are we going to do? Readies? And I'm like, I mean, I don't know. We had to talk that through. We're like, we were ready to be confronted with this. He doesn't see, you know, a pediatrician, like, you know, all those things. It was like, okay, we're got to sort this out, you know, real quick. And that's like all those different things. So we ended up, you know, he nursed, he took a really long contact nap and like woke up and was doing completely fine. So, but it is funny how those things will test you in ways you don't expect and in situations you don't expect. And like, then you come out of that with a fortified experience of your child's system and their resilience and what they're able to, you know, endure, and how preventing them from every little formative experience does not do them any, you know, it does them a disservice.
Yeah. You know, Eva and Joe, I want to switch a little bit and talk about interns and associates just really quickly before we end. But I just want to bring up something, Eva, that you touched on. And, you know, you talked about COVID, you know, and you talked about, you know, like these kids that the parents who went through it that might have been pregnant, might have delivered, not had the partner in the room, you know, all these different things that happen. And, you know, we don't know the effects yet, obviously, even of elementary school kids, you know, and, you know, we're seeing it right now in middle school and high school, but, you know, we just don't know the full sociological effects that are going to take place, whether from just wearing masks or from, you know, being isolated or whatever it is, you know. And I'm just thankful. I guess I want to ask, I'll just say a statement. I'm just thankful that you guys are in the front lines of taking care of kids, and that more people follow in your footsteps or walking side by side with you, because that's a whole nother area that we haven't even tapped into yet, right? Because it's not out there. Like you talk about autism more, you know, and all these conditional things that you're seeing so much more now of than 10 years ago. I think in 5 years, we're going to be seeing a lot of this stuff, you know, and this is where chiropractic shines, obviously, to integrate the nervous system, to polyvagally, you know, and all the different things that are happening. So the statement is thank you for what you're doing, because it's huge. You know, it really is huge. And you guys are certainly a light that allows people to, you know, have their ship navigate to, you know, the lighthouse where, you know, that constantly has a light on. So kudos to you. But let's shift over to really quickly interns and associates, because, you know, you guys jumped into that game and give a few ideas or thoughts around that, you know, which you can tell some of our viewers of what, how you did it. I know you concepted it in the first one, at least, but, you know, what's the game plan that you do around associates and interns?
We always start with defining like our need. What's our need? No, we've had preceptors in the office where we really felt like we just wanted to give back and pour into people and have some extra hands, but like defining what's the reason of bringing this person on, what's really the intent, and being clear about that, I feel like first and foremost. And then we always do a little vision boarding exercise where we make a list of our ideal person. And we've done this as a full team, which I think is really powerful with our CA too, of like, all right, and we did it before, you know, we hire another team member of any role. We make a whole list of attributes of who that ideal person would be. So then we at least have a sense of what we're looking for, and people either meet that or they don't meet that. And then we sort of like our non-negotiables, and then our things that would be kind of nice to have.
And then we've done like Indeed posts, right? But we have on there very, very specific things. One, like we want to cast the vision about who we are, what we do, and really just sharing the mission. And we put a lot of fine details at the bottom. Like, we want you to include X, Y, and Z. So if they don't read through the full post, they're not detail-oriented, they're probably not going to be an amazing fit for our office. Then we have them submit videos. And it's usually it's three questions, and it's usually these ones. It's, what inspires you to want to work with moms and kids? You know, what got you, or what's your experience with chiropractic? And then,
or what does chiropractic mean to you? Yeah, like, what role has it played in your life?
Yeah, it depends on the role of a hyper, whether it's a chiropractor or a CA, but, and then something else about them. Like, what's a big challenge you've been through? What's something that's really defined you as a person? Just something so we get some video feedback. Is an Indeed feature where they record videos, they submit it to it, and then we watch the videos. We're like, okay, let's see the person express when they're talking about moms and kids. And if they don't have the fire burning in their hearts, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
We set up a Zoom interview where we just hop on like a quick connection call. Just be like, hey, let's share a little bit more about our practice and let's watch your face. And if it's going woo, woo, and yee, you're probably going to be a good fit. And then we bring them into the office. They shadow, they hang out. And then we do a reflection Zoom. Again, these are quick calls. And then we kind of move forward from there. So that's more like the logistics of the onboarding, but you know along the way. And then you got to bring them in and get to work with them and see how it actually is when you're in the trenches with them. Because anybody can interview a certain way.
Right.
But, would you add anything to that?
No, because, for us, when we went through our vision, it was like the most important thing was the person, like who they were.
Yeah.
Be in our office. We really didn't care about specifics or credentials of years of experience or this or that. We're like, we need to see who you are. So we made our interview process reflect that. We're like, we need to see early on. We need to see this person's face when they talk about chiropractic and feel their heart. So we made that the first step of the interview process,
Yeah, it's great. That's great.
And I do you know, remember Rosie who worked at our office for 13 years? Do you know why we hired her? A group interview with like 20 people and somebody sat next to her and I said, get a pen out because we're going to talk to you. And the woman next to her said, oh, I don't have a pen. And Rosie said, here, use mine. What was so cool about that is I assumed Rosie had two pens. She didn't. She said, here, use mine. And I'm standing there looking at her, waiting for her to get her pen out. And then she looked up at me and I said, do you need a pen? And she goes, I do. I had a piece of paper and I was writing their names on a pad and putting like little notes next to them. And the note, I put a star next to hers and I put like ours, meaning she's ours, or like hire her, whatever the note was. We didn't interview her. We walked to the room. We're like, where'd you work before? We're like, okay, we'll be calling you. So it's about the person.
Oh. I love that. It gives me chills. Ours. I mean, that's so sweet. And the impact you guys have had together over decades in so many people's lives, in our lives, and us doing what we're doing right now has been completely shaped by that team that you formed together. And Rosie's a big part of that. So that's just so cool.
I know.
It's all full circle. And you know what? I mean, the only thing that we really care about, to be honest with you, is for you to be successful, for all the people who've been with us to be successful. And when I say success, I mean, have what you want in life and be able to serve others so that you can, create a better place, make a better world and pay it forward. And pay it forward is a big one. And you guys are doing that. You're doing that in multiples. So I love it. I'm just really... I'm sitting here the whole time, Mary, just going, I'm just inspired, man. This is like, I want to interview with you. So if you'll hire me.
Boy, if that's not full circle, that when we retire, we come and interview with you.
Yeah. Or at least take over when you go on vacation, that kind of thing.
We would love that.
We'd be happy to. Hey, we're getting to the end of our show. We always ask our guests a couple questions. You guys were with us 4 years ago. Hopefully you forgot, but if you did, it doesn't matter. So what we'll do is, Eva, we're going to ask you the first question, and then Joe, you'll answer it second, and then Joe, you'll get the second question first, and Eva, you'll get it second. So Mary, you want to do the first?
Yes. Okay, the first question. Do you remember what these questions were?
Not at all.
Okay. Perfect.
But 15 to 20 second answers, and okay. Have to be innate. Have just whatever comes up first, because it could change tomorrow. It's that kind of thing.
Yes. Okay. So Eva, you're going first. With all your experience now, if you could go back, and you're standing in front of yourself, you're about to start. It's first day or first quarter at Life West. What advice would you give yourself?
Oh my God! Holy crap! There's nothing I would change about my story. I'd say just do it. Just trust. It's all happening for you. Every little thing, even when it doesn't feel like it's happening for you, it's happening for you.
Love it.
Perfect. Hey, Joe.
Don't let anybody tell you what you can or cannot do in this life.
Nice.
Ooh, deep.
Nice. All right. I got the second question, Joe. You're going to handle this first. Here we go. Same scenarios, who you are right now, Dr. Joe, everything you have, the knowledge that you've gained, over the last, years, that you've been in practice, and you're going to speak to Dr. Joe just graduated, just got the diploma, is a doctor. What advice would you give Dr. Joe?
You have everything inside of you that you need to be successful, and however you define success.
Nice. Awesome.
All that stuff will come.
Yeah, mine was going to be almost the exact same words, but I'll shift the words to say that you are enough. With your heart in your hands, you are enough right now to serve people, make a difference.
Yeah. Wow. I love it. I love it. Well, thank you guys. Thanks for being with us today. Mary, anything you want to end with?
No, my heart is full. Just even looking at you guys, and Ron said it all. We're inspired by you. We don't use the word proud a lot because we don't see ourselves up here and you here. We see ourselves here. And so we're inspired by you, but yeah, we are proud of you. And just keep doing what you're doing, and you're already successful because you're happy, you're healthy, you're doing what you love to do. So thank you.
Guys, so much. Thank you so much. It's so great to reconnect with you. And like we say, you are living, breathing part of every single thing that we do, because you were just absolutely so foundational in us becoming who we are and who we will continue to be. So we're all doing this together.
We are.
We are. We are. So and to our viewers, thank you. Thank you for coming with us. Thank you for being on the ride. Man, tons of stuff today from Dr. Joe and Dr. Eva. I mean, there's a lot that's there to unpack. So please, I think you got to probably watch this 3 times, especially those you doing Peds and Pregs or, you know, if you're looking at doing that, because I see a whole new wave coming through with that. I could be wrong, and I hope I am wrong, to be honest with you, but I just see it kind of happening. But thank you. And please share this with people. There's people out there that need to hear the story. There's patients out there that need to hear the story, parents out there. And you know, the more we share and the more we give, the more knowledge it's spread around, the more chiropractic becomes a common word for everyone to start using. So thanks for coming in. You know, we drop these every other week. The opposite weeks is our life leadership line. And we're always coming at you with great people like Dr. Joe and Dr. Eva. And once again, from Mary, thank you for being a wonderful wing person, you know, my wing woman. This is so much fun, and we'll continue to do these as long as our viewers want them and our numbers are constantly going up. So we just love and appreciate you. So until we come at you the next time, from Dr. Joe and Eva, from Dr. Mary and myself, we'll bid you adieu. And just remember to spread love and to let people know that they are much more powerful than they were ever led to believe. And let them know that, because they are. Okay. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today, and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.